This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show here on placetobenation.com, and now your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Welcome to another edition of the Steve Carino Show. I am your host. Who else would it be? Steve Carino, and this is my show. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you free of charge every week through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to help and kick back some money, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees and get a new King of Old School 20th Anniversary shirt, an American Tiger shirt, or even a Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt. That one's going up this week, and you're gonna love it because it really doesn't look like a wrestling shirt. It just looks like something freaking cool. But go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. Do you like high spot stuff? Of course you do. They got great DVDs, and you know, if you're an indie wrestler, they got gear for you. Shit, yeah, we all do. But go to WorldOfCarino.com, click on the high spots banner, buy some stuff. They kick back a little moolah to me, and then I'm happy. Because you know what? The show is free. I do it for free. And when you guys buy a shirt or something like that, then I justify it to my wife saying I get paid to do the show. And it's a very important day night because it's Tuesday night, May 20th. That's when I tape it. You're listening to it on Friday or Saturday and stuff like that. While I'm taping this, I'm also preparing for the Dancing with the Stars finale. I even shot a message to Dan again just a little bit ago. I said, hey, man, do you mind starting to record this a little bit early? Because, you know, I'm Team Amy, but then there's Marilyn Marks and then stupid DJ Tanner. You know, it's such a stressful night. But it's going to be great. By the time that you listen to it, you're going to know who the winner is. I know it's going to be Merle. She's awesome. She's got a real weird face, but so do I. And I do think her and Max are getting it on, and but it's a great show. I never really wanted to watch it until last season, when my wife is, you know, loves the show because she's a girl. So I wanted to be the husband that's really nice and sit with her because she'll sit with me during baseball and wrestling, and I know that she doesn't give two shits about either, but she's always there. She never complains. So I said, you know what? Let me sit here and watch this. And within like 2 weeks, I was into it. Last season had Bill Engvall. You know, this season, you know, Amy Poehler, who like doesn't have any legs, she's in it. There's so many like cool personalities, and you just get into it. And I, you know what, I may lose my man card by being a part of it or being part of this Dancing with the Stars Nation, but it's so much fun, man. It is so much fun. And I can't dance. I really can't. And every time I talk to my wife and I say, we should go take dancing lessons. And it's not going good for my man card. But speaking of my man card, this weekend I went and bought a new grill. And when you're grilling, you're a man. I haven't drank so much beer in the last 3 days of this grilling phase that I'm in than I have in months. You got to picture this. Yeah, I live on the beach and stuff like that, so there's an ordinance where you can't have it on your top deck, so I put it on the back top deck. And I love it. You know, I made steaks tonight. I made chicken last the night before. And the hell did I? Oh, and burgers. Of course, you got to make burgers. You know, every fat guy loves burgers. And you know, I put up my Mickey Ultra. And don't tell me, don't tweet me and cry to me that it's a shitty beer or something like that. I like Mickey Ultra, and I even call it Mickey Ultra. It's Michelob Ultra. It tastes good. It goes down. I don't think it's very. It has a lot of calories, but guy like me really doesn't count calories. I like my food. You know, I don't wrestle as much as I did before. It's not like I'm going to look like freaking Lex Luger or Ryback or, you know, I don't mind looking like Dick Murdoch. It's all right. You know, I can still go in there and do what I have to do, but, oh, let me give a quick shout out to my producer, who's in a real grumpy mood tonight, not just because Dancing with the Stars is on, and, you know, and I'll let him explain. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan McGinn. Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Steve, and
You weren't very good a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I'm getting over it. I'm just thinking out loud here, Steve. You are looking forward to the finale to Dancing with the Stars. You drink Michelob Ultra. When did I become the masculine one in this show?
What do you mean? I'm a man.
Yeah,
man. I fixed a light bulb today too.
Did you?
Ha-ha.
Well,
I bitched and moaned about it, but I did fix it.
Well, but here's the thing. And of course, me calling you out is silly because I was the one that was just pouting over a fixed lottery for the NBA draft. For those that were listening on Friday, this is now an old story. But as everybody knows, I'm a big New England sports fan, and of course, I root for the Boston Celtics. It's not because they have all those championships. I was born into it. And once again, Boston had an opportunity to win the lottery, and once again, they fell on their faces.
Now, with the lottery, explain this to me, because I'm only a baseball fan. The lottery is literally like a lottery, right? Do they put, like, the bingo balls or whatever they are, and that's how they pick?
It's based on, the balls are put into, like, an actual, you know, big tub, plastic, you know, the lottery, right? And they have numbers 1 through 14 on the balls. And based on – they only do the lottery for the first three picks. So basically, you know, a series of numbers pop up, and each team has a group of numbers. And if those numbers line up with your team wins the lottery. So you basically are competing for the top three picks. Well, usually the teams with the worst records, obviously, in this case, it was Milwaukee. They had a 25% chance of winning – the number one overall pick. Cleveland, who ended up winning it, had under 2% chance of winning the lottery, and sure enough, they did. And teams like Boston, who suffered through a 25-win season this year, had to settle for what was left, and in Boston's case, they got the sixth pick. But for Cleveland, it's remarkable because they've now won the lottery three times in the last 10 years. It's incredible.
Now, are you going to be one of those guys to say it's all fixed and, you know, it's a conspiracy against the Boston people?
No, I'm not going to do that because I know there's plenty of people that hate Boston that listen to all of our podcasts. But and I'm certainly not going to complain about all the different championships this area has won recently. It's all in good fun, but it is really kind of funny how sometimes teams have much better karma than others.
Yeah, I think it's a chemistry thing too. You know, I'm a big baseball fan, and I definitely believe it's chemistry. And you know, sometimes it's not always the best team that wins; it's the guys that can get together and play. And while we're talking about baseball, I want to touch on a little thing that bothers me sometimes, and it bothers me because I've been to Japan so many times that like I have a soft spot in my heart for Japanese people, but I also am a fan of Japanese baseball. And if you've ever gone to a Japanese baseball game, it is freaking amazing. I've gone to multiple games before. I went with Necro Butcher once, which was very, very entertaining. But the New York Yankees have a pitcher, and I know you're going to crap on him because you're a Boston fan, but the New York Yankees have a pitcher named Masahiro Tanaka, who had just come over from Japan after a 24-0 season. 24-0 season. It's amazing. And he comes to the New York Yankees, and all winter I heard, oh, he's not going to be that great. He's, you know, this and he's that. This guy's blowing away everybody right now. He looks awesome. People can hit the, you know, the sinker. And I think of this topic and I say, are baseball fans racist? Like, they don't want to see Masahiro Tanaka or a Dominican Republic player, you know, be like the top star. I don't know. It just seems like they want a Bryce Harper, Trout, you know, good old American Womp Boy. Baseball is a world phenomenon right now. You have guys from the Dominican Republic, Cuba, you know, even Australia, Canada, and the States. And I believe baseball is the greatest sport in the entire world. Why do baseball fans tend to crap on foreign players? Now, I want you people, and when I mean you people, I mean if you're guilty of this baseball racism, I want you to write me. I want you to tweet me at Steve Carino Show, or even write me an email. Shoot me an email. Give me your best grammar. SteveCarinoShow@gmail.com or SteveCarinoShow@placetobenation.com. Now, Dan, I had a great weekend last weekend. I'm sure you don't care. You're supposed to say, oh, really, Steve? Okay.
Well, Steve, we're friends now, as we documented a couple episodes ago. So, of course I care. And I see it all the time. I see it on the Twitter. I see it on the Facebook. So I can tell when you're having a good time because you're posting about it or retweeting about it.
Oh, I'm a retweeter lately. I have chronic retweet syndrome. Now, my weekend started on Friday, and if you listen to the program, we had American Tiger on the show. We were promoting the Premier Wrestling Federation event in Hubert, North Carolina. And I used to be the type of guy when I was running the PWF before to kind of play the back page or the back of the thing where Rob Dimension and Brian Regal were the face of the company, and I was just a booker and still wrestling in Japan and ROH and stuff like this. Now at almost 41 years old and almost at the end of my in-ring career, I've taken that role of being the face of the company and saying this is my company, but in reality is it's a team effort. And Friday, we ran our first event since I moved down to North Carolina in Hubert, North Carolina, which is between Jacksonville and the resort areas. I live in a resort area, Emerald Isle, and then you have Atlantic Beach, Indian Beach, Pine Knoll Shores and stuff. And it's basically right in the middle. And it's a diverse area because you have a lot of old money, and you also have a lot of Marines with Camp Lejeune being so close. But the one thing that you don't really see is professional wrestling, and it boggled my mind. You know, I've been here for 2 years, and the closest show is about an hour and 15 minutes away from me. So after heavy deliberation and thinking about it and doing the numbers and seeing how it would take, I decided, and just the sheer luck that Spencer and Matt were done with the PWF name that I had given them after we had closed up shop and turned into Pro Wrestling World One in 2005. They were closing up shop after all these years, and it was just a great time to take the name back and make it something and keep the legacy going and keep the lineage going. So I'd forgotten how much hard work it actually is. But the day before, the Jacksonville Daily News had done a story on the PWF, and I can't tell you how great the story was. Because with a newspaper, they could shit all over your product, call it fake and everything. And I told the writer, I said, hey, man, call it fake, call it stupid, call it anything. All I'm asking you to do is tell people that this is something that a family can go to and not be ashamed. This guy wrote a puff piece, and it was awesome. So we had a lot of people there that, you know, didn't see whether it be the commercial or they didn't see the posters and everything like that. And I honestly went in thinking we could have 30 or 40 people. That's what I mentally prepared for. That's what I bought food for. And all of a sudden, people are coming. And my mom, Mama C, is the ticket lady. And she looks out and she goes, Steven, there's a long line. I'm like, what? And I literally said it that way. What? So we opened the doors. We have to put more seats out. And we ended up with comps and stuff like that, 120 people. But when you're expecting 40 or 50, 120 is great. And in this small venue, a lot of people said that they didn't even know it was going on. And they wanted to get with it before. So absolutely a great time. American Tiger, who we had on the show, did an awesome job. I thought he did great. But man, here was the problem. I probably rolled into the bed at 12 o'clock. You know, the building's 15 minutes away from me. I have to get up at 3 to catch a 5:15 flight to New York for Ring of Honor. And it was such a long day being in New York City and dealing with New York City people. But then it was War of the Worlds, the ROH versus New Japan, you know, super event at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And man, what a show. You know, for me as a commentator for ROH, I was blown away at the matches. Dan, did you watch it?
I did, Steve. I paid off on that homework assignment I had last week. I wasn't going to pull the global wars and make excuses. I actually sat down at my computer, and then I realized that I could hook that up to my television. So I actually streamed it through my television, and it was such a blast.
Was it hard? Like to put it through your television?
No, all you do is take an HDMI cable, as long as your computer has an HDMI hookup, and then plug it into the HDMI hookup into your television, and then what you see on your computer is what's projected onto your television.
Sounds difficult, man. I don't know. What was your favorite match of the show?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there was and this is going to sound really canned answer. I mean, they all were great. I mean, I was telling you before we went on the air that I was thinking that there would probably be a time where I could probably just get up and do other things while it was on in the background. But I really felt like I needed to sit and watch each and every match. But that tag match, I'm telling you, when you had the Young Bucks, Red Dragon, I mean, that was incredible. Like, I couldn't look away from that match. I was just captivated. All those different spots. I think I tweeted at Brad, who sends us a lot of questions, also helps out a lot with Place to Be Nation. I think I said to him, I go, this is the type of match that I'm sure Jim Ross is dying to watch. He is probably crying. He is probably very upset. He's going to be all grumpy about it on his podcast this week. But that was just a phenomenal encounter.
I agree with you because the Young Bucks are, I think they're the greatest tag team in wrestling right now. There's nobody better. But Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are just almost right up there and amazing. And Tom Lawler from UFC was there, and I don't think he took away. I thought he actually did a great job. I love Jay Lethal versus Kushida. I thought that was just great. And Nakamura versus Kevin Steen. And it's so funny because my job as a color commentator is to give like a heel's perspective, but also be witty. And, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I'm supposed to say. So I do a lot of times. But sometimes when I say them, people take it in their own way. And I'm gonna give you an example here. Now, at Global Wars, I got maybe 4 tweets telling me that I talk too much. You know, they already know New Japan. The commentary sucks. What was the other one? Oh, you ruined matches for me. I did write that guy back and say, well, I hope you to know that you'll I'm going to ruin many more for you at War of the Worlds. So I said something. I was talking about Tanahashi and his girlfriend that ended up stabbing him in 2002, and it made him this big star. And there was some sort of spot on the outside where I go, better than being bludgeoned with a knife. And a guy wrote me, and he goes, fuck you, Steve Corino. You know, Bruiser Brody died. And I go, that wasn't a Bruiser Brody line, you moron. That was a, you know, I'll hit a Bruiser Brody line if I want to. And then the big one that I thought everybody took the wrong way, and you can take it however you want. That's the great thing about my commentary was Tom Lawler, who I had no idea before the day, like, because I don't watch UFC. I feel bad. I think those guys get hurt and then I worry about them and oh, hell with that shit. So I go, all right, I got a line. And I said, you know, he's not related to Jerry Lawler, but they both like young girls. So, you know, I got, well, you're calling Lawler a pedophile and everything. I go, no. You're calling Lawler a pedophile. I already told people before that my wife was born in 1989, which would make her 25 years old. I'm going to be in, by the time you listen to this, in a week, I'm going to be 41 years old. So apparently I like young girls too. People really need to stop taking things so seriously.
And Steve, because you're the first person ever to make a Jerry Lawler loves young girls comment ever in the history of broadcasting.
Right, exactly. I mean, anybody wants to YouTube that Doug Gilbert interview, which was amazing. I didn't even say he raped people. Oh. Now, before we get to the break, I have to admit something. I'm a nerd. I am a huge freaking nerd. And I'm going to tell you why. I love baseball. And about 2 years ago, I was turned on to this game called Out of the Park Baseball. Now, the developer, Brad Cook, will be our guest next week, and I can't wait to basically mark out for him. But it's basically a simulated major league game. And, I mean, you can play, oh, shit, teams from, like, 1896 or whatever. But I play a current team, and of course my team is the Philadelphia Phillies, and I am currently on the same day as the Philadelphia Phillies are today. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to show how much of a freaking geek I am, and I'm going to compare some stats. So now I'm awful at this game. I have never seemed to get ahead. I don't think I've gotten over 501, and it's awful. But I also, and my dad gives me this shit too, is that I manage with my heart. And hey, maybe I do, but like, I love it. I love it. So, just a little comparison. The Philadelphia Phillies today, the real Philadelphia Phillies, are 19-22. My Phillies, 19-24. Now, we're on the same day, apparently. I don't know why that it would give it that, because they're playing Miami today. So, and it has the same schedule and stuff like this. But it's so funny to see how different some of the stats are. Well, for example, Chase Utley is still one of my favorite players. Right now, in the really real Phillies, he's hit 3 home runs, 22 RBIs, and he's batting .338. Chase Utley in my game, 2 home runs, 10 RBIs, batting .216. Ugh. Carlos Ruiz, real Phillies, 1 home run, 10 RBIs, .284. Apparently that freaking ADD medicine isn't really working for him. It's working for him on my team. 1 home run, 14 RBIs, .353 batting average. Now, I think I'm doing good. So it's just so funny to go through the comparisons. But the big one, Ryan Howard, real Phillies, 7 home runs, 22 RBIs, .242 batting average. Me, on my team, 5 home runs, 17 RBIs, .185. Yes, .185. In 42 games, he has struck out 54 times. He's killing me. But I'm 19-24. The real Phillies, 19-22 on the same day, and which would be, as we're talking, Tuesday, May 20th. And it's just an awesome game. And next week we'll be talking to Brad Cook and really get to see how he came up with this game. And, you know, and I heard he's got a little special for our Steve Carino Show fans. So when we come back from the break, Frankie DeFalco, former WWF and AWA jobber and current Brewer City Wrestling promoter, will join us for our weekly interview. But Dan, where can I find the Steve Carino Show?
You can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app, just like myself and Justin 0 of the Kevin Kelly Show by hitting a placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at placetobenation and at Steve Carino Show, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment or suggestions for this program, email us at a couple different locations. Steve Carino Show at placetobenation.com, Steve Carino Show at gmail.com, or tweet at us once again at Steve Carino Show.
Wow, you are so good. So fluid. Hey, when we come back, Frankie the Falco. And we also got some Twitter Q&A coming up also, which I love. And we got some, before I throw this out, we need some different people. Same people all the time. Great questions, but different people. Let's get it. Let's become. I know you got questions out there. I know you do. Start asking them. This is the Steve Carino Show.
Searching for the cheese, looking for the text. In the big blue in search of the skins. Grinning and laughing, laughing and grinning. Padlock Jody got the whole scene played. No knocking boots until she's 14K.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Back on the Steve Carino Show this Friday night. If you're listening to it today, it's today, Friday, May 23rd at the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis, Wisconsin, Brew City Wrestling. Main event, yours truly, the BCW World Heavyweight Champion Steve Carino against Joey Jet Avalon. And on the line right now is the man that puts it all together. Brew City Wrestling promoter, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco. Frankie, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And, you know, when I started the show, we're in week five, and I made like a short list. I had a list of eight names that I wanted on my first eight shows to, you know, really, because I think everybody has a different story, and I wanted to get guys out there that really have a fun story to tell that could be different. Because when you think of wrestling podcasts, the three that come to my mind are Colt Cabana, Chris Jericho, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they're different, but they're the same and stuff. But I wanted to have something where I have total diverse, you know, total diverse people on every week to talk about different things. Last week we had voice guy Steve Goff and American Tiger. This week, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco. Now, Frankie, for the people that aren't, you know, they're not in tune with your career.
Right.
You had been wrestling for over 25 years?
34.
34. Holy shit, 34. That's a long time. That's older than me.
You were there.
That's not true. Now, 34 years old, or 34 years that you had been wrestling, you just retired last September. Right. And you're more known for being a part of the World Wrestling Federation and American Wrestling Association.
Right.
Can I say enhancement crew, or is it jobber?
You know, to me, it doesn't matter what it is, but to tell you a real quick story, when I was doing TV for WWF at the time, now the E, but my partner and I, so I forgot his name, but we're working Nikolai Volkov and Big Head Jim Nelson for Zhukov, and we're going over the match, and Nikolai called us jabronis. They go, okay, jabroni? He goes, okay, here, jabroni, this is what we're going to do, and this and that. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I guess we are what we are. But back then, that's the way they referred us as jabronis, and it just carried over. But when we were there, they appreciated what myself, Trevor Adonis, Tom Rocky Stone, and the other guys did. Hercules Hernandez and Ted DiBiase stuck up for us, told them not to call us because if we weren't there to help them put themselves over, you know, they would have nothing except to work themselves like they do right now. So back then, it was very cool for them to stick up for us like that.
And yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted you on the show this week, because I wanted to inform newer fans, because newer fans aren't used to the enhancement talent, and they don't understand it. It almost is that the term jobber is like a derogatory term when it really isn't. Because basically, if you break it down, you're just doing the job, but you're still – your job is actually harder than the guy that's winning, because your job is to make him look as good as possible in that 4 or 6 or 8 minutes and not be selfish, not take 30, 40, 50% of the match and still make him look good. And it's something that I think is a lost art in today's world where – in the 80s and the 90s, there was you, there was Jake Milliman, there Tom Rocky Stone, George South, Rocky King, going back to the WWF days, Johnny Rods and Jose Estrada. And right. All of these guys were known as great wrestlers. It wasn't just Joe Blow that just his first day of wrestling school and he was just going in there to take a bump. You guys were guys that were working a lot of TVs in When I was a jobber in 96 to 98 for the WWE or WWF at the time, I was only called when they were in the Northeast. Where you guys, you live in Milwaukee, you're from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You were going to Vegas. You were on the road. Like
we were a lot. We did every other week. We did Las Vegas, the AUA, and then we would do Monday, Tuesdays. They'd fly us, or else we'd have to drive for WWF TV.
No, I got a question. What was the pay for, you know, you had worked for the AWA in Las Vegas, and then you had worked for the WWF.
Right.
What was the difference in pay for the two companies?
WWF was a lot more. They were giving us $500, where AWA was giving us maybe $200.
Wait, you were getting $500 from WWF?
Yeah, anywhere from $300, depending on where they were giving us trans back then too. But Tom Stone hoarded all that crap and he took it all. But yeah, we were getting anywhere between $300 and $500 doing TV.
That was amazing because when I started doing jobs in '96, I was only in for 2 years and it was $250. And when you're making $20 or $30 or $40 on an independent show and all of a sudden, Arnold Skolin gives you two $100 bills and a $50.
Right.
Like you felt like you. you just, you know, cashed in the greatest thing ever. And it was great. Now, what were the differences between how Vern Gagne ran the AWA as opposed to the big machine of the WWF at the time?
And he walked up and he goes, Frank, good job. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're going to work this guy here. And it was, can I F-bomb here or no?
Yeah, sure.
Good. It's fucking Yokozuna, Rodney. And I almost shit my pants. But then I went up to Greg. I said, Greg, I cannot work this guy. It's, you know, it doesn't make sense. So Greg, liking me that he was, gave him to another guy. And I think I ended up getting a tag team, me and another guy again, against the hell are they called? Bloom, Wayne the Train Bloom, and that other non-talking guy.
Mike Enos, the Destruction Mike, Crew.
Yeah, Enos, there you go. Well, you're talking about dying and suffering for 5 minutes. I'll tell you, it was bad.
Now, who was the worst guy you ever wrestled, you know, in a job match? Was it those two, or?
Man, I tell you, all the guys in WWF were great. Oh, that one guy. We're doing TV up in Madison, and some green guy who was trained by Dino Bravo, and he was a bodybuilder, and he literally beat the shit out of me in that match. The only thing that he took care of me on was the inverted pile driver, where he didn't touch me ball. Everything else, he just beat the crap out of me. Then he went to the AWA and did an Indian gimmick with Wahoo. I don't know if you remember that, Steve.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think who that would be.
Big musclehead kid. But he beat the shit out of me. But then Outback Jack and some of the names over there took him apart. Even Dino Bravo laid into him saying, you did it all wrong. Just to eat me up like that was stupid. But, yeah, they tore him a new asshole for that.
Who was the best guy you ever wrestled there?
DiBiase.
I'm sorry, say it again?
Ed DiBiase, Sr.
Wow, so you had DiBiase, but you had also wrestled like Mr. Perfect, right?
Jesus Christ, Kurt. I can't forget about Kurt. I mean, I worked so many guys. I did WWF for over 10 years, almost 10 years.
Wow.
That's how crazy it was. I mean, I worked Andre and Haku when they had the tag straps. And a funny story out of that is Strongbow says, okay, boss, who do you want to do it on? And at the time, this guy, my partner, what the hell's his name? He's from Green Bay. And he was telling them what he wanted to do.
Oh,
and my. And Haku pointed at him. And Andre, he goes, don't worry about it. And I said, okay. And I think I had maybe 1 minute in that match, and they beat the shit out of my partner. The kid tried getting up from a slam by Andre, and Andre laid all his weight on him with an elbow drop. Came them in, and then Haku always had these like 2-inch long toenails, and went and did the big super kick and gashed him right under his eye. It was great.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Back then, though, you had to learn to shut your mouth and take what it was. And I was also selling Zubas for the Legion of Doom at the time, and my partner was Tom Bennett, and they took it on him because I was making, you know, selling product for the Legion of Doom. Strongbow came in. Who do you guys want to take it on? They said him. I was selling product. They were it was good.
See, I got so lucky. Every time that I went up there, I dreaded getting the Road Warriors because I thought, you know, I don't want to take that Doomsday device. I'll land on my head. And like, every time I would just look up on the list, I'd be like, ooh. And I had quite the program with Crush. I had gotten killed by Crush in probably 4 or 5 different characters. I mean, it was Kona Crush, Jailbird Crush, Nation of Domination Crush, and DOA Crush. Worst part about that, I never got my win back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? Son of a bitch. We're talking with... see, you got it. We're talking with Frankie the Thumper DeFalco, promoter of Bruce City Wrestling this Friday night, Knights of Columbus. If you've never been to a Bruce City Wrestling show, you're missing a party, man. It's one of my favorite places to wrestle. Tickets are only $15. Doors open at 6:45. Bell time is at 7:30. BCW Ladies Championship, Stacy Shadows versus, is it Jordynne Grace?
No, she quit. Good about that.
Yeah, she quit because she had a funeral to go to in a month, right?
On May 24th. Yeah.
Yeah, who the fuck is dying a month before the show?
I found out something that your buddy JP told me. She's on a poster for the Juggalos on May 22nd.
Oh.
It's either May 22nd or the 23rd, that they're somewhere in Illinois or whatever it is. So, yeah, that's where she's going to be. But she didn't even tell me. It was her former or her roommate, her ex-boyfriend, who said that she had to cancel. So I Facebooked her. She goes, yeah, I have to go down to Texas on the 22nd to be at a funeral for my aunt on the 24th. I'm like, oh, okay, good luck.
Yeah, this was a few weeks before. Like, I don't know what religion she is, but, man, that's freaking crazy.
This is already, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, correct.
Yeah, I've never heard that before, and I've always had some great excuses, but I'm going to write it down. Now, one of the things that we're doing at the Bruce City Wrestling Show tonight, which, you know, Friday night, is we're raising money for Sean Weber. Now, Sean Weber was a professional wrestling fan that was he had gone through a lot of medical problems over his whole life, and he was just a fighter, and he was a huge professional wrestling fan. He was a monthly, you know, he was always there at Bruce City Wrestling. Even when he was sick, he would come back, and you know, and in November, on Thanksgiving Day, he had sadly passed away after a long illness, and which hit a lot of us hard because, you know, fans can be pains in the asses and they can be, you know, a whole bunch of different things. But Sean just, he brought out something in a lot of wrestlers that was different. For me, as a guy that, you know, had anxiety attacks for the last 3-4 years and stuff like that, he made me feel like, man, at the end of the day, everything is going to be all right. And he just had this positive attitude. And he, you know, I would grill him on the microphone and get in his face. And he would send me Facebook messages and call me a turd and stuff like that. And, you know, he was just a great kid. And you know, his dream was to go to the WWF headquarters because he wanted to see everything. And John Cena was his favorite wrestler. But we're raising money on Friday where we'll be doing pictures in the ring. And all the money is going to go to try and fund a headstone for Sean Weber. Now, Frankie, you're very close with the Weber family.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where how much are we trying to raise? Is it not even a set amount? We're just going to try and raise as much as possible? Or is there a number in mind?
It's as much as we can, but set up that they're looking for is about $2,500. And that's what they priced off the tombstone or the headstone for, because they want to do a bit of wrestling stuff on there as well, plus the picture, you know, plus stuff. That's why it's going to cost so much. But all the referee executives or whatever at BCW will all be available that night to take pictures. And it's going to be $5 a piece. All the proceeds go to that. We're also going to be raffling off a Milwaukee Brewers jacket. It's like a summer spring jacket. It's a $90 retail. It's a Nike jacket. And that's going to be a $10 raffle. We're taking 10 names. That's it. So somebody's going to be able to win that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, I for the fans that watch this or listen to this podcast every week and aren't going to be able to make it out to the show, you can always email Frankie, BruceCityWrestling1@gmail.com. Ask him how you can help or how you can contribute. And, you know, I really hope that we can raise a lot of money. I am going to also donate any of my 8x10s that I'll be, you know, that I usually sell at the shows and stuff like that. Usually they're 10 bucks each. They're going to be $5 a piece. And every dime is going to go to the Weber family. And once again, that's this Friday, May 23rd, Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street, beautiful West Allis, Wisconsin. There's going to be a lot of matches on there. Main event, Bruce City Wrestling Heavyweight Championship, myself, the King of Old School, Steve Carino versus Joey Jet Avalon. Doors are going to open at 6:45. Bell time is 7:30. There's beer there. Oh, it's great. There's a chiropractor. There's a masseuse. It's a real fun time. Peter Schwanz, and Schwanz, if you didn't know, it means dick in German. It's true. It's my only German that I know. He'll be defending the BCW Heritage Championship against my buddy Dysfunction. And it's a great picture of Dysfunction on the poster. And afterwards, I imagine we'll be going to Big Dogs, right?
Big Dogs Sports Grill on 95th and Greenfield. They always take care of us. In fact, it was about 6 months ago where the owner of Big Dogs just wanted to beat the shit out of Steve Carino.
Right, and I was going to say, they always take care of you. She wanted to beat me up.
He did?
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, the 62-year-old woman was in my face in her own bar. And I kept thinking, like, this is not going to end very well for anybody here. But, Frankie, the website, BruceCityWrestling1.com. What's the Twitter?
At BCW.
At BCW1, right?
Yes.
Okay, I couldn't hear you for that one. Yeah, and that's right. This Friday, May 23rd, Frankie, I want to thank you for coming on the Steve Carino Show. Yeah, fuck the Nikolai Volkov, the jobber, the jabroni, and I will see you at the Knights of Columbus. Actually, I'll see you at your house on Thursday.
Thursday, right, but Friday, I believe it's going to be a great time. Bruce City Wrestling is one of the best around. We run the state of Wisconsin, to be honest with you, but we're one of the top promotions in the Midwest, and with having a world champion as Steve Carino on the show, it makes it that much better.
It's awesome. Hey, well, thank you for the plug.
Oh, no problem.
All right, man, I will see you soon. And once again, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco on the Steve Carino Show. When we come back, we're going to have some Twitter love and Twitter questions, Facebook questions, email questions, and all sorts of stuff. We're going to wrap it up. This is the Steve Carino Show.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at the History of WWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net and piledriverwrestling.net.
Looking for a better way to get
and
up out of bed
instead of
getting
on the internet show, and getting a new gig. First shot, come strut, walk it. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Twitter love, Twitter Q&A, some plugs and all that stuff. But I always like when people tweet us or email us. So you can always tweet us at Steve Carino Show or email us, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com. And they ask questions. And we are getting a lot of the same people every week, but we're getting some really, really good questions. And just like every week, me and Dan are going to switch on and off, and I'll take this week. And we're started off with Brody, why, at Brody on the Twitter machine. He wrote, will GoGo ACH learn to sell or say North Texas correctly? Now, that's a shame. I like ACH. I think he's a great kid. I think he's misunderstood. He's very, very energetic and happy all the time. And I love him. I think he's such a nice kid. But he gets a lot of heat, and I just don't think it's right. Does he learn how to sell? I think he does a great job of selling. His face is always there, and he's always moving around. He doesn't die. I'm a big fan of ACH. I think he's exciting. He comes back when he wants, is supposed to, and he's going to be a big star. I definitely think he's going to be a big star. For him saying North Texas correctly, I don't know. I had a hard time saying it. But I'm going to say yes to learning how to sell, and let's go with no, because if I'm right, he's from San Antonio, and that's in Southern Texas. Dan, what's up?
I'm going to go with probably the question, as soon as I saw this question come up, because I keep track of these things, I was like, this is our question of the week. This is it. And I'm actually kind of curious to find out the answer myself. This is from our man, at JDVirgilio4. Has anyone ever told you, Steve, that you look like Mitch Williams? And if so, what was your reaction?
That's the first time I've ever gotten it. I have gotten, over the years, I've gotten a Baldwin, they never know which one, and it's never Alec. It's never the most successful one. The one I get a lot is Adam Sandler. When I have my beard real short, I get Adam Sandler. But I've never gotten Mitch Williams before. And what's funny is Mitch Williams managed me on a Hermie Sadler UWF show in Philadelphia in 2007 against Goldust. And I'm going to have to send that picture over to post, because you guys could do – I had blonde hair at the time, but I don't think so. But, man, I'm a big Mitch fan. I love him. So he got kicked out of a little league game, and who hasn't? But Mitch Williams is a good dude. I like him. So that was definitely a compliment.
I have a Mitch Williams story.
You do?
Yeah. When I was a media, I guess they called me at the time, a media relations associate with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs a few years ago.
Okay, yeah.
They had hosted at this beautiful new ballpark, Coca-Cola Park, they had hosted a all-star game for the AAA, for the International League and the Pacific Coast League. And they wanted to bring in some big names to do the broadcast on, like, MLB Network. And they brought in Mitch Williams to do the color commentary. And, like, so I was kind of in charge of doing, like, some media requests and that sort of thing and making sure everybody had their credentials. And then all of a sudden, in walks Wild Thing, you know, Mitch Williams comes in. And, you know, people from the network are coming up and goes, okay, and where's Mitch stand? And da-da-da-da. And he was just so nice and so friendly. And, like, Ricky Batalico, who I had been working with all season long, had introduced me. And I was like, wow, it's like closers all gathered around together. And he was just so friendly, so down to earth, such a different character than when he's on the air. He was just so, you know, mellow. It was really cool.
He was super cool. He wanted to take a bump. He was, at first they wanted him to be a babyface, and this is 07. This is before the Phillies got, you know, went to the World Series in 08, so he wasn't forgiven yet. And I said, how can you have him as a babyface? He's a heel. And, yeah, he even said on the microphone that he gave Joe Carter the wink, you know, and you know, it was absolutely amazing. Now, was Batalico a dick?
Batalico's funny. He is like Hollywood. He was funny. He would come walking into games. Like, games would start at like 7. He would come at like 3:30. I'd be working on media notes and getting things together and making sure that everybody's passes were in order. And he'd come in with his little, with his shorts on and sandals, walking through the ballpark. And he'd put his feet up on my counter and he'd just start watching TV in the press box. And he'd be like, hey, Dan, stop what you're doing. We've got to watch something. And I'd be like, Ricky, I got some work to do. He's like, ah, forget about that. We're going to watch the Golf Channel. And I was like, of all the things that are going to get me up from this desk, the Golf Channel. And, but, and then, you know, he would talk about how he would get a haircut like once a week, like just for a trim, just to make it style. Like he was, I was like, wow, you are so Hollywood.
Yeah. He just comes off like a dick. Okay. The Honor Report. Oh, how about homicide on the show? How about no. First of all, the guy doesn't even speak English. I don't know what he said. Like, yeah, I haven't been wrestling for 22 years, and my finish is always bad, and Carino, he's a piece of shit. Man, nobody wants to hear that for 20, 25 minutes. No, you put him on the Kevin Kelly show. Absolutely no. Thumbs down the homicide on the Steve Carino show. God, that was a dumb question on a report. Now I'm hot.
Well, Steve, I'm gonna reveal the, I'm gonna pull back the curtain because I think you're gonna get a kick out of this. The Honor Report is actually all ego of one Stephen J. Sutton.
Wow, Sutton.
He writes the Honor Report for PlaceToBeNation.com, which gives you kind of an update on our show, as well as Kevin Kelly's show. He does Kevin Steen's weekend blog, you know, that he does on YouTube. It has all kinds of, like, wonderful little nuggets that center around Ring of Honor, and that can be found on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Now I'm mad at him. All right, what do you got?
All right, another writer on PlaceToBeNation.com and a big fan of the program is at Steve Rogers, Steve J. Rogers, J.R., he writes about Scum, and he has a couple, two-parter here. He goes, personal bias aside, should the main heel, not hell, heel commentator be an official member of a stable or just the devil's advocate? And this ties into his second question. You and Scum versus Taz and Aces and Eights, who was the better faction?
Honestly, I think we were, because it was different, and our main goal was to destroy the company, because, you know, I don't know if it was told. I've never seen the ROH vs. Scum DVDs, but the way that I would try and sell it was that I was basically a cult leader, and I couldn't find salvation until I killed Ring of Honor. It wasn't that I was trying to take over. I was literally trying to kill the whole company. Like, and I had my guys going to die for me. And I thought that was a cool concept, because now I was a cult leader and I was a manipulator, and I thought it came off very well, but a lot of people thought it was like a takeover angle, and it wasn't. It was always to destroy the whole company, and then so we could move on. And because I, you know, the Steve Carino Scum character believed that ROH fans were hypocrites, and the wrestlers, you know, they were killing themselves for nothing, and it was just one of those things where I thought it was great. Where Aces and Eights, I think, was more of a takeover, and it was hard to, I don't know, there were so many members, and I didn't know where it was going. It was definitely hard to follow. Where Scum was very easy to follow, and it was very quick. It wasn't going to last too long, and it was done by design. I mean, when we were told what it was going to happen, it was literally like, hey, this is what we're doing, you know, and it'll be over in 3 months. It was great. And I thought it was getting there. But main heel commentator, be an official member of a stable, I don't like that. There's a reason why there was a couple months where, you know, I was doing the angle where I was fired, but, you know, I was trying to get my job. And if people remembered a year ago, I had won the commentating spot, but I had never done it. And now that I got fired, then I was like, well, I'm the commentator and I have a contract. I didn't go back the next week. It was literally a couple months until I did it. So that, like, the scum thing wore off. And one of the reasons I never acknowledge scum on commentary is, you know, I'm in denial. I'm a commentator now and a company guy. So yeah, I don't do it. Now, C. Nez 138, apparently a genius, he asked, what's my podcast called? Well, duh, anybody that listens knows that you're listening to the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. Jeez. What do you got?
New name to our list here, Steve, at Power Ref, and it's another great question. Probably a good silver medalist in our competition for question of the week. Here we go. I think at King Carino should try to get at Philly's manager Ryan Sandberg on the Steve Carino Show. How about it, Steve?
That'd be awesome. Now, for people that don't know, I am the biggest Ryan Sandberg fan of all time. And when people say, oh, no, I'm the biggest fan ever, let me tell you what I've done. And I get pissed sometimes because I believe that I don't think that they meant to steal it. It could have been anybody's story. But I have literally sent Ryan Sandberg a birthday card since 1985. When I was 12 years old, he was my favorite player. We had gotten WGN in Philadelphia, and Sandberg was, you know, he was my favorite player because he was a Philly, and I got to see him when I was 8 years old in, you know, in a September role. Then he went to the Cubs in 82, and he was my player. And in 85, I sent him his first birthday card. 86, 87, 88, 89 goes by. Now I'm 16, 17 years old, and yeah, my buddies think it's funny that I send it. Well, by the time that I graduated high school and went to college and became an adult and became a wrestler, then it was a goof. Let's keep sending these cards. Eventually, he's got to write back. Well, now it's 2014. And every year since 1985, I have written this guy a birthday card. September 18th, Ryan Sandberg's birthday, which I always call Ryan Sandberg Day. I've never met him. I have friends that work in the Phillies organization that can't get me access to this guy. I just need to meet him one time, and I know we're going to be buddies. It's like destiny. And, you know, they did a thing where Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was obsessed with Chase Utley and wrote him a letter. Mine's never been that creepy. I mean, the creepiest thing I ever did, and my wife has never forgiven me for it, was 2 years ago, I sent him a birthday card, and then I put my wrestling, like, baseball-style card in there with the note. And she thought that was kind of creepy. But, man, like, he's got to understand that, like, we could be buddies, you know. He's got a wife. I got a wife. I think he likes beer. We both love the Phillies. You heard my statistics. I mean, we almost have the same exact. He's 19 and 22. I'm 19 and 24.
Steve,
I mean, it's
Steve.
Yeah,
you're the type of person that they write after school specials about.
No, there is nothing unnatural about this friendship.
I mean, Eminem has written songs about fans like you.
No, it's not that. It's not like I got a Sandberg tattoo or anything like that. I mean, in my man room, I have a 8x10, 7 baseball cards. Oh, wait, another 8x10. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I think we'd be buddies, though. I played second base in high school.
Oh, yeah.
You played second base for the Cubs.
Oh, you're like twins.
Word up. All right. Yeah. So, yes, Power Ref, I'm working on it, man. I think Father's Day this year is it's going to be my time. We're going to go while we're up there for Colby's graduation. it's my time. Like, I gotta meet him. I've been so close so many times. Damn it. Oh, all right. We got one from the email. Justin Pratt. Of course he's a Chicago fan. Hey, Steve, how's it going? I'm a big-time Chicago sports fan and fortunately a lifelong Cubs fan. Poor sucker. My question is to you. What's your favorite or most memorable sports moment of all time? Mine is the heart-wrenching one, as it's the day that Bartman caught the foul ball. People say Lou didn't have a chance, and it may be so, but it still sticks in the hearts of many Cubs fans. Hopefully yours didn't result in teenage man tears like mine did. Love, Justin. Justin, there's a reason why the Cubs have not won a World Series since 1908. Jesus Christ hates the Chicago Cubs.
Amen.
Right? Think about that. 105 years, and it'll be 106 this year. There's no fucking way they're winning. Jesus Christ hates them. Absolutely. And I'm not even a Christian. I believe that for a fact. How can you have such bad luck for 105 years? You know? And you can blame that nerd Barkman, but Alou was going—he wasn't going to get that ball. And you know what? They could have won the next game. It's a hard life being a Cubs fan. It is. Man, why do you think Harry Carey drank so much? It's ridiculous. Yeah, but I was a Cubs fan as a kid. Cubs and Phillies. What a freaking loser I was. To think that I have a sexy wife right now, and you went back and saw me when I was 12 years old, you'd never have guessed it. Ridiculous. Oh, we got to get Sandberg on the show.
It's our mission. It has to happen.
It's got to.
Hey, you know, if Kevin Kelly could get Diamond Dallas Page, it can happen.
All he needs is a retweet.
That's right.
I like DDP. All right, what do we got? Give me some love.
I'll give you some Twitter love right now. We got a couple new faces. It's @MoneyMakerEH. He writes, I have to listen to this. I'm interested. I am so interested in hearing your stories, old school. I need to be educated. With a smiley face.
Yeah, the smiley face made it creepy.
And also,
I hope he didn't have an egg.
An egg?
Yeah, when the Twitter egg, that creeps me out.
Yeah.
Like, get a freaking picture.
Oh, true. Yeah, that is kind of freaky. I don't accept, actually, who am I to judge? I don't have any Twitter followers. But if I do have the opportunity to accept Twitter followers, if they're just an egg, forget it.
Yeah, I get totally freaked out by it. I try not to answer them back.
No?
I mean, like, oh, get rid of the egg and then we can talk. I mean, I know that sounds like I'm, you know, putting them in a category, but ugh.
Well, here's some more love for you. Have you ever heard? Have you ever been to or competed at 2CW?
I have once you before. Have.
Well, this guy at 2CW, Agent Fenton, he writes us at Steve Carino Show. Great first few weeks at King Carino at D McG 4881. Who's that? Another great unique podcast in the place to be nation. # old school rules.
You got so excited when you said your Twitter handle. That's awesome. DMCG 4881. Another great unique podcast in the place to be nation.
I was under 80 followers before this whole thing started. Under 80. And now I'm over 120.
Wow.
This is like big bump for me.
Do you know that my 5.5-month-old baby monster C...
Shut up.
Has, as of this moment, 194 followers.
All right. Well, I'm closing the gap, though.
That's right. Got to get him over 200.
I actually follow Beck now, too, I have to admit.
He's got some funny tweets. Kid's witty.
He was lounging. He was doing the whole beach thing today, I hear.
He was. He fell asleep on the beach. It was awesome. Great day on the beach. It was like 78 out. The breeze coming off the ocean. He took it as his chance to take a quick nap, put his little hat down, and said, that's it, I'm done. Awesome. Hey, man, this weekend I will be Friday night, Milwaukee, West Dallas. We had talked about it with Frankie DeFalco at Knights of Columbus. On Saturday I'll be in Luxembourg, Wisconsin. I didn't even know there was a place called Luxembourg in the States. kind of sounds scary, like any place in Germany. For WPW, there are going to be some two good shows in Wisconsin. I always have a great time in the Midwest. You know, check them out. Once again, want to buy a t-shirt from me? ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. You can get a Steve Carino shirt, Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt. That's really cool looking. And then also a PWF shirt and American Tiger shirt. That kid's pretty cool, right? Did you like him?
I did. He was a very intelligent young man and knew his stuff and certainly knows how to party.
Yeah, I gotta watch out for that. But I definitely he did a great job. And hey, follow him on Twitter @GoAmericanTiger. Also follow me @KingCarino. Follow all my projects @LegendOfTheMask. That's Mr. Wrestling 3's Twitter. And yeah, it's me. And I pretend that I got the mask on when I'm tweeting. So just be a part of it. It's going to be cool. PWF Pro Wrestling, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. The Twitter is @PWFLegacy. Keep coming out June 20th. Hubert, North Carolina. It's going to be a fun show. I'm in a mixed tag. Myself, Mr. Wrestling 3 and Katie Taylor against Man Scout Jake Manning and Soulja Bolt. Baby Monster C. And also the big one @Steve Carino Show. What kind of plugs do you got, my man?
All right. We have some great stuff happening. You want to hit the download button on the Place to Be Nation podcast. You get all the latest from the Kevin Kelly Show, from the Place to Be podcast, from all their different network of podcasts, including the Steve Carino Show. Couple big things that came out. Of course, the most recent Kevin Kelly Show they had Diamond Dallas Page. Got to make sure that Kevin gets all the credit on that one because he gets sad otherwise. Diamond Dallas Page appeared on the most recent episode of the Kevin Kelly Show. Also, the Place to Be Nation guys, Scott and Justin, they sat down with Scott Keith of RSPWFAQ.com, and they answered some viewer mail and some Facebook requests. It was a nice mailbag episode, so you want to check that out as well. Your humble correspondent, your producer, your cohort, as someone once called me, might have also contributed with a question on that podcast, so you want to check that out as well. Place to Be Nation, download on iTunes, hit the download button, and then tell two friends about it. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. You got anything going on this weekend?
This weekend, long weekend, Memorial Day. We got cookouts. We got all kinds of stuff. Hopefully get some sleep. I also need to catch up on Breaking Bad. Hey, do you watch Breaking Bad, Steve?
Never get into it. No.
You know what the problem is? I'm in season 3, and I'm still wondering when it's going to become awesome. You know, like, I stick with it because everybody keeps saying it's great. But I'm still waiting for it to become, can't miss.
It's kind of overrated, right?
That's what I'm starting to feel like, you know? Like, I was sold a bill of goods on this.
Yeah, I lasted 5 episodes. I couldn't do it.
Really?
But, hey, I'm going to go. It's going to be Dancing with the Stars finale. My man Dan, I'm Steve Carino, and this was, will always be, Steve Carino Show next week. Brad Cook in 2 weeks, the Enforcer, C.W. Anderson will be joining us on the Steve Carino Show. Until then, everyone, have a great weekend. Flow pro poetical with skills only a better, no better, no is the weather. Flow that's on point like that's almost manhandling new crew. Partying with the zoo crew, looking for the pink and poo-poo. I thought you knew two stone styles, the stamina jamming. And while we're planning the jam, we bust with a party amateur dance.